All right, let's move to group two. So if you have any comments or questions, group two, their topic was, what is quantum singularity and what are fractals? So anybody questions? Anybody from group two? Any comments you would like to make from your perspective?
I could start with just a quick little share to help us get rolling. But the one thing I noticed for myself, since I was a presenter, I had a really hard time being in that mental space to do the research and to figure out what I wanted to write. And it was a very mental process. And I'm in my mind all week long with the work I do. And so I struggled with figuring out how to hold the spiritual space while presenting very mental information, at least for me. And I'm still struggling with it. It's like, how can I be allow myself the understanding from a mental perspective and hold it in a spiritual space at the same time? So that was my experience.
Anybody like to comment on that?
I think for me, I kept going over and over my presentation because it started out enormous because I had this presenter and I had this person and that person, that person. It was just so, the subject is so vast. So I kept cutting it down, until it was really little. At least it felt little to me. And, but then when I, once I got it the way I wanted it, I just kept reading it. And the more I read it, the more I felt it. And I started really just becoming part with that. And so when I got to the point where I actually presented it, I really did feel it as I went. And I found that quite eye-opening.
Thanks, Susie.
It's easy.
This is Jan. I have a comment on Kelly. If you put your attention on your sacred heart or your heart space and think from your heart, I think that helped me the most. So that's just my comment.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jan. I felt like I could, that all I needed was one sentence to really understand fractals in relation to the work we're doing. And that's the sentence that you say all the time in this work, when you're channeling. And that is that we were created in the image and similitude of our creator. To me, that summed up fractals in one sentence, and all the other information I brought forth was just like mental gymnastics, it felt like.
Yeah, I gotta, this is Randall commenting on what Kelly's saying. I guess the mental activity is just kind of a bridging, I think, a bridging to knowingness, you know. So it doesn't, it just gets you part of the way there, right? And then you just, it's a knowing, a feeling. You don't, you know, I can't, I lose the words. So my thought.
I think that, I mean, we've said this, all of us, many, many times, and the council has said it, that the third dimensional languaging is very lacking when it comes to this type of energetic, as well as the concepts that are being presented. So, you really have to get into, as Jan said, your sacred heart and start feeling the energies that you are describing in a presentation. And I think as we move along this year, that will become much easier.
And Kelly, kind of as an inverse to your experience, for Joan and I, and we talk about this often, because we receive the energetics first, then we have to try to translate that into words in a language that makes sense to the rational mind. And we are finding that increasingly harder as we are playing in these higher and higher and more refined frequencies. So that's kind of that two-way street, because we do have to have some understanding in the conscious mind to even know what we're talking about. You know, we could not even have done this project or had this conversation even 2 years ago. I mean, look how far we've come to be able to even understand what we're talking about. And we're talking about these massive subjects in this massive quantum field that holds everything. So yeah, it's a dance, and you know, and it's the languaging is going to become, I believe, and even more difficult to come up with the words that express these quantum cosmic frequencies.
This is Jan.
Hey Jan.
I have a question for you and Joan. Will you be moving into some sort of sacred sounds and maybe colors to capture some of that information? That's just my question.
I have no idea.
We don't know.
They give us a little at a time. I mean, we have to understand, we're part of this council. So there is some of that master coding that is within each one of us. And mm-hmm. when the timing is right, that somehow surfaces as we operate in that field of the Council of 12. So, you know, they give us such a massive amount to prepare for each session that we've just learned over the last few years, take it as it comes, because we're being prepared as we are given these energetics, as we are given these concepts, then we have to integrate them. And from the view of the entire council, at that level of consciousness, they kind of can read our field, read our energy signatures, because each member has a signature. Whether it be sound, it colors, and looking at like graphics sometimes are very helpful, fractal graphics. And the ones that each group used throughout their presentation was very helpful in stimulating your mind and your consciousness. Milena, do you have anything to comment on that?
No, it's exactly that. You know, we never know exactly where we're going to be led until it's time. And so we just learn to trust the process as we go.
This is
Go ahead.
I'd like to follow on from what Milena just said. It's the process, because I think that's what these groups have been able to provide, is a process for us all to connect, to try to understand things that, I mean, we've all over the last 25 years since What's the Bleep and before, we've come into these terms, we've come into the concepts, but we've never had maybe to really put them into words or explain things. So I think it was a great process. I know in our group, some people did not make presentations because we were trying to keep a time limit, but they really participated. And we really took on a lot of those concepts, which we could actually kind of interpret in what each person presented. I really loved when people used, you know, their personal experiences and their artistic works in both groups. I think that really gave some depth to everything. And I agree, the sounds and the music and things are also part of connecting, you know, with this quantum field. So I think there's just so much we're going to continue to explore together. And I would just like to say, though, that as I think for both groups, both sessions, it really made a cohesive feeling that we are together and we can understand each other so much better. So thank you to all of you.
Very nice. Thanks.
Blessings. This is Diana. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to, I'm in great gratitude for all the work that the members of Group 2 did. And those who were unable to participate due to their own decision, I felt their energy, just like Leanne said. So everyone did participate. And it was a great experience to get to know others that I had never even spoken to before. And so I'm very grateful for that. One of the things that I've noticed as this process has started is that at any given moment, the quantum field, entanglement, singularity, and fractals come together in a moment that is felt. And from that, I am able to move forward in my daily activities in a different flow. There is no way that I'm going to be able to focus in on the quantum field. But if I'm able to bring in a stream of consciousness, a stream of energy that allows me to express myself with other people, to feel that entanglement, and then from that, take a breath and send out in fractal energies from sound that is not heard, from colors that are not seen, from designs that may not be present in the visual eye of your brain, but is known, and you leave that in the space that you occupied for that moment, whether you're in a store, whether you're driving down the street, whether you're in your own home having a conversation with someone. Then you are bringing all of that technical information and the spiritual aspects of it into one cohesive divine moment with an S. And the more that you become aware of those moments, the more we are bringing everything of all that we have been learning and will continue to learn into the third dimension. And this is part of our journey home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jenna.
Hey, Jenna.
Hey. I actually, being in group two with quantum singularity as a focus, I actually didn't do any kind of academic information. research on the topic until about 5 days before our presentation. So it offered a month, you know, to just be with it and sort of go in inwardly to explore a little bit. And I kind of found that, how did I see this topic? You know, it is setting the stage for our coming year. And I came up with twofold. I found it more valuable, first of all, to be asking questions than to be looking for answers. So that kind of freed things up a lot. You know, I know it was a question and answer format that we were presenting in, but I found it was all about our creativity. And as a collective, kind of stepping up to being more active participants in our own creativity than more passive receivers. Let's face it, all of us have gone through the school systems and so on, and we were very much indoctrinated with kind of sitting back and listening to those that, with more authority or whatnot. The other piece was, in terms of quantum singularity, that we're the she. You know, we are that dance, as Melina says. We are the orchestration, as Margaret spoke. We're all energetic beings, you know, having a physical form experience. And so I always look to the heart. I'm more interested in feeling states now, and energy transmissions that are in the words, than, because I kind of see us all trailblazing communication. That was the second part that came to me. Creativity and communication. I kind of thought, what would the Keys of Enoch book be if there wasn't a glossary? You know, we're at a place where we're looking not at just words, which we know are limiting, Sanskrit, perhaps, you know, different ancient traditions have brought symbolisms and imaging. And I think that's the place that we're going to a little bit, to translate more of our energetic reality through languaging. Like right now it's explaining things, which has value, but I think the more trailblazing aspects of us as a collective are really pushing on sound codes. If the similitude is energetics and the imaging is holographics, you know, in leading us into more of our true nature, we're going to have a lot of fun playing with this, I think, you know, as we sort of allow ourselves to open up and express ourselves. And I just wanted to say too, an answer, I think, to Jan, that when I go out, I'm always, my intention is heart melting. And I think just a smile is a wonderful, I see it all the time. People that are very kind of enrobed in that 3D density, and how willing they are, you know, to return a smile. You can feel their heart lighting up. That's a beautiful language, the language of love and unity. So I want to thank everyone in our group for their participation as well. I think very much looking forward to more of this. So thanks.
Thank you,
Anna.
Yeah, I like that about the smile, Jana, because what is a smile? Do you pass a stranger on the street and you smile? So what is that? It's an acknowledgement of their being. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Namaste. I honor the divine within you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone else?
I have a question. Thank you so much, Jana. I really appreciate what you just shared. And a simple question, it just dawned on me. I'm wondering, is there such a thing as fractal sound? Because we talked and explored fractal geometry, which was all imagery to me.
I was drawn to present, my particular exploration brought me to participatory universe, which led to the posting that I put on the Facebook group, which is, and we've probably all heard this, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, you know, does it make a sound? And it sounds maybe on surface a little bit cliche, but I found it extraordinarily a great sort of catalyst for, you know, what exactly, like as creators within form, what exactly is the nature of reality? And then it's again getting back to the definitions of words. What meaning do we give it? And that's communication is all based on that, right? But we know that that effective communication gets misconstrued if people have different definitions of words, for instance, you know. And so you're saying it from your own perspective, but someone else might be receiving it in a completely different way, you know. And so I just found that the notion of us creating what we're creating in physicality in the moment, you know, participatory universe suggests that even though we may be familiar with something, I mean, we could take any simple example, you know, the tree in the backyard, for instance, you know, you kind of assume that you know it's there, but if you're not directly observing it or perceiving it, you don't really and truly know that it's there, you know, and until you engage with it. And I think that's a lot about quantum energetic reality, is that we're creating in each and every moment. And it's always new. you know, everything that we're doing in the moment is brand new. It's never been done before. We're master creators. We can't even not create, you know, because that's our very nature. So I found it brought me deeper and deeper within myself, you know, as I explored those concepts of what is our perception, you know, like, why are we perceiving something a certain way or whatever? Now that we've stepped out of polarized thinking in 3D, the field is wide open for our creativity. So I'm looking forward to what we're collectively going to create this year, for sure.
Thank you. Katrian?
Yeah, Kelly, I liked your answer about fractal sound, your question about fractal sound. And as I was thinking about it, two ways we could start exploring this are first the concept of overtones in music, and then also the parallel types of musical systems we have around the globe. And then the fact that sound and color are the same thing. So I think with your question, you opened a whole new field we can explore, and this would be one that would tend to go beyond the mental words and into the experiences.
I like that. I like what you said a lot, because I'm very connected to waves of energy. They hit me like literally like wind hitting me. And so sound creates waves, and that gets me out of my head. And I want to explore more of that, but I'm not a music person in the slightest. So I'm not sure where to go next, but I think like somebody else, I think Jan mentioned wondering about sound. It's it's a little frustrating that we can't share more sound over these Zoom calls, but it just doesn't come through very good.
No, it doesn't. We've tried. On Melaine and I, when we have our conversations, we lots of times meet on Zoom, and we've tried because I have bowls and so does she. And I forget what it was. We were trying to get to come through the sound on the Zoom, and it
wouldn't pick it up.
Yeah, no.
And I put it, and I had, you remember that triangle we had at the last conference, that crystal triangle?
Yeah.
I put it right over my microphone. And it still would not pick up the sound.
I don't know. I think, you know, on those things like crystal bowls, they have a certain frequency that is very different than the human voice. So perhaps it's in that frequency range why it wouldn't pick it up, but we certainly did try.
Yeah, the limitation is in the technology, the transmission technology too. Right. The internet itself can't handle it. It's mm-hmm. And that's a good excuse to get together again.
Yeah. But you know, it's like the whole concept of sound with that axiom, you know, does the tree make a noise, a sound, you know, if it falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, is sound, we know it's a vibration that travels in the air. So in that respect, the answer is yes, the tree does make a sound because its falling creates vibrations in the air. But then we could look at the more that would be sort of the energetic reality of it. But we have like our physical sensory ear is what registers the sound waves that travel in the air. So is the sound the inner vibrational experience, or is the sound the outer tone, you know, that we take in externally? So I think we're starting to play more with, in yoga, they call it the inner nada. It's the unstruck sound. So it's not externally created. It comes from within. So again, it's about defining terms. You know, sound is, as creators in energetic reality, is an internal experience. Although we can know that humming is a very effective way. I dare anybody to hum and not have every fiber of their being, you know, unified in the process. You know, it's impossible to hum, and it's everywhere. It's pervasive. So I kind of feel like playing with those sound codes in that way, we can circumvent the lack, you know, of technology and so on for sound, and we could still play pretty effectively, I think.
Thank you. Catriona, you had a comment.
In terms of the external sound, during the presentations, Imhotep's video came through just fine. So I don't think we can do the sound live, but it can be recorded.
Yes.
Yes, and saved and then played. And I think it will come through in its pure sounds then.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, that can be done. There's also, in Zoom, I was able to do that because it was embedded into the PowerPoint. But with a live piece, if it's recorded, it should be able to be played and heard.
Okay, good to know.
Good to know. Thank you very much, everyone, for your contribution to this discussion. And we certainly will have more of them as we move along. I think they're a very productive conversation, and more of the group is invited to in these conversations to participate, because that makes us a stronger community. So thank you very much, everyone, for participating.
Okay.